Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Maximizing Your Potential by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
25th chapter. Matthew 25, starting at verse 14 down through 17 is the story of a Lord who gave his servants money to manage. One he gave 5 talents, another gave 2, to another gave 1. Picking it up here at verse 19, it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth. There's an accounting to be done. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought back 5 other talents, or 5 more talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained. Everybody say gain. Gain. We're not talking about pounds here. Glory to God. Somebody said, the devil's a lie. I'm trying to lose. I ain't trying to gain. But he gained 5 additional talents. His Lord saith unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22, he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thou art hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast thy talent. The other said, here. He said, there. It's over there in the dirt. You go get it out. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, slothful, no good, trifling, low down, good for nothing. No, I'm sorry. For some reason, that's how I read it. All that's in slothful. Wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou ought to therefore put my money to exchange it, to the banks, and invest it some kind of way. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with some usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which has 10 talents. Here's the principle: for everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Everyone that hath at the time, you should have. At the time of the reckoning, there's a time when you ought to have your own. We all agree. Yeah. Amen. You have no problem taking care of a child. You have no problem taking care of a teenager. You might even have a problem taking care of a college student while he focuses on his study. Come on, but you're 35 now. You got to get off the couch. I just messed up some millennials living situation. Okay. Now, at some point, you need to have some evidence from what has been given to you. Amen. You ought to be producing something with what has been imparted to you. That's what he means there. If everyone who hath shall be given, he'll have abundance, because God's going to increase you with more. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There's weeping. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. And we're continuing part 2 today of maximizing your potential. Potential, we said, those latent qualities or abilities that may be developed and lead to some type of future success or usefulness. Potential is that possibility of something happening or someone doing something great in the future. Potential is having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something greater. Potential, the root word is from, in the Latin, is potentia, which is power. Everybody say, all of us have power. Come on, say, I have power. Okay, God, which you have, and power is the ability to make things happen. The ability to make things happen. So potential is that which you already have in you that's yet to be displayed through you. Potential is that which you already have in you that is yet to be manifested from you. Potential is that concealed ability that will one day become revealed ability. And so when we said maximizing that, we're talking about we ought to take that which God has put in us and make it as large as possible. To maximize potential means to make the best and the most use of something. To maximize means to get everything out of it that it should produce. And we saw that when God created the herbs, the trees, and mankind, he created all of us with potential. He put the seed in itself. Genesis 1, 11, he said, create the fruit yielding tree. Yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself. Verse 12, it says again, whose seed is in itself. Seed represents potential. God says, I'm not creating anything anymore. I've put it in you to recreate. God's not going to produce any more trees. God's not producing any more animals. God has created all these things one time and put the seed in itself. So we said that even if you're going to start a business, stop looking around for somebody to give you something. The first thing that the prophet asked the widow is, what do you have in your house? Take self-inventory. What talent, what ability, what knowledge, what wisdom, what capability has God put in you that you can uniquely maximize in a way that other people can't? So we said seed is potential. Everything that God created, he put a seed in it so he would never have to create again. So we even showed you that the Bible says the kingdom of God is as one would sow seed. He said, and even though it's like a grain of mustard seed, according to Mark 4, 30 through 32, he said, when it's sown, it grows up. When it's sown, it grows and becomes greater. That's potential. But so your potential, watch this, y'all, this is so good. Your potential got to be sown somewhere. See, a lot of people are waiting for something to happen because you know you're talented. I know I'm talented. Take that talent and sow it somewhere. Well, I ought to be singing full time. I ought to be paid for singing. Sow it in a choir. Before you worry about getting paid from it. Take that potential, sow it somewhere. Oh, did I tell y'all? Here's the other part of that testimony. Remember I told you the testimony last week about the young lady in our church who had something on her record from the past, and they said that she wasn't going to get this job because she couldn't pass the background check. Okay? But she had favor with somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. Somebody in a high position. And when she told me, they said, well, apply here. She said, I applied. And so they said, well, we'll work it out. We're going to see if we can get it worked out. And then because of the favor of God, despite that, she passed the background check. Oh, and did I tell y'all it's state job with state benefits? Full time. Watch this. But while she was waiting on that job to come through and believing for a supernatural turnaround of that record situation, she came and volunteered her time at the church. So while she was waiting, she sowed. See, I always talk about sowing in the context of money, but if you don't have money, sow something. God blesses the sower. He blesses the giver. And so potential got to be sown. Seed is potential. Potential is seed. When it is sown, it groweth up. It's not going to grow if it's not sown. And it become greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches. You know, what I'm doing right now, y'all, I started this. You know, my greatest thrill, I taught Sunday school. I studied all week and taught Sunday school. First I taught the junior class. Before I knew it, as a young man in my 20s, I'm teaching the adult Sunday school. I love Sunday school. Okay? But I had to sow Sunday school before I'm speaking to hundreds and thousands. I taught to someone in our church who does street ministry. I always admire people who do street ministry. Okay? Street ministry, because there's no offerings in street ministry. There's no lights in street ministry. Come on now. It's no great esteem in street ministry. Street ministry ministers to street people who might cuss you out while you're preaching to them. There ain't no usher to bring order. You just get cussed out. Take them out. Take them out where? I'm already out. Okay? But I was talking to someone in our church. I've been doing street ministry for 30 years. I go to soup kitchens. I stand on the street. I go in the parks and I minister. I always admire people to do that because they are not looking for a platform. It really shows your heart. People say, I just want to preach. Do you? There's always somewhere to preach if you just really want to preach. What they really mean, I want a pulpit. I want somebody else's pulpit. That's what they mean. I need to be in somebody's church. No, if you're willing to show, I started off going to, I would leave. Let me tell you what my Fridays were when I was in college. I worked a work study job from 8 to about 1 o'clock as the English chairperson's secretary with a typewriter. I know y'all don't even know what that is. I didn't even say an IBM Selectric typewriter. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Okay, at least that was an electric one. This was an old just typewriter. That was before you even knew nothing about carpal tunnel. Everybody had carpal tunnel back then, just didn't know what it was. You just typed. Okay? And I did that from 9 to 12. And many times he would come down and say, Mr. Bailey, please redo this. Because I make my mistakes and try to use my whiteout. Just didn't look right. Okay? And then I would leave college. And I had my bags packed. I left at 1 o'clock. It took me about 2 hours to get from Jersey City from East Orange, New Jersey to Jersey City, New Jersey with my bags. Okay? Because I had to have all my church clothes for the weekend. Okay? You didn't wear no jeans back then. Okay? Had all my church clothes, my three-piece suits and all that, my Bible and all that. And then I would leave there and I go to the Jersey City Medical Center. And the guards would watch my stuff and I would just choose a floor. I would choose a floor and go door to door at the Jersey City Medical Center. Would you like prayer today? Can I come in and read a scripture and have prayer with you? And I would do that every Friday and then leave there, try to get a little bite to eat, and go to choir rehearsal, be at choir rehearsal by 6 o'clock. Choir rehearsal from 6 to 7:30, and then 7:30, we went into prayer for 8 o'clock service. That was my Friday. And I did that for years. And so everything a lot of times we're looking for opportunities. We say we're looking for opportunity, and what we really mean, I'm looking for an opportunity to be paid. You're not looking for opportunities are always there. The paid opportunities aren't always there. But the paid opportunities come out the volunteer opportunities. Somebody said, I did not come to church for this. I thought you were going to tell me about money. I'm telling you about money. So there's a battle for your seed. There's a battle for your potential. We said all your struggles, all your challenges, all your trials, all your trouble is really about your potential. Potential is not just what God has put in you. Potential is what God wants to bring out of you. So we said that this passage of Matthew 25, 14 through 30 is a parable about potential. It says that he delivered unto them his goods. It's important for us to understand that God first gives us before he expects from us. So everybody say, God put treasure in me. So you got to realize that you're not the owner of your gift. This is good. You're not the owner of your potential, but you're a steward over it. You're a steward or caretaker of the gift that God has given you. You're a steward and a caretaker of the potential that God has put in you. And you got to treat it with care. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, it says, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and he has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Everybody say, I have a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. Now, let me broaden the application of this. God puts something in you, but it's his. We have this treasure. These earthen vessels mean in these human frames, in these human bodies, in these physical beings. But he puts his treasure in us that the excellency of the power may be from him, not of us. So he puts something in us so he can shine through us. That's what potential is. Potential is the Godness in you that when he wants to shine through you. Everybody say, God put treasure in me. So let me make this point again. Before God demands anything from you, he puts something in you. Oh, glory to God. Before God demands anything from you, he puts something in you. Say that with me. Say, before God demands anything from me, he puts something in me. Let's look at that through the scripture. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. God says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. So God said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit, and I'm going to take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Look at this. And I'll put my what? I'm in Ezekiel 36 and 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. See, this is where a lot of people miss it. Because with legalism, trying to make you do something that just because it's supposed to be done. God said, I want you to live a certain way. I want you to obey my commandments. I want you to walk in my judgment. But I know you can't do that if I don't change you. He says, so first, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and that's going to cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgment. Before God demands anything from you, he puts something in you. See, a lot of you, you're trying to live righteous lives through self-righteousness. You can't live a righteous life through self-righteousness. You can't live a righteous life by just talking about, I'm gone, I won't. No, you got to depend, you got to recognize and depend on that power that he's already put in you. So you got to make a demand on the Holy Spirit that's in you. Holy Spirit, put a guard over my mouth. Holy Spirit, order my steps today. I can't do this by myself, but Christ has put a treasure in me. So he demands something of me only because he put something in me. So you're getting this. So it would be wrong of God to expect us to do something we can't do. You can't live holy unless he make you holy. You can't live righteous until he makes you righteous. So you got to receive your righteousness and recognize God is in me. Philippians 2:13. For it is God, Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in you. It is God that worketh in you. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I remember I discovered this scripture when I was a teenager. Man, this scripture took so much pressure off me. I was just trying to do right. I got to do right. Got to do right. Got to talk right. Got to act right. That's it. And then, man, I start confessing. God's working in me. Come on now. If God's doing the work, it's not as hard as you trying to do it by yourself. God is working in you both to will. So that means God will give you a desire to please him. If God gives me a desire to want to be right, to act right. You know, I told you that, you know, sometimes these songs, that song, be right, want to be right, be right. Be right, be right, won't be right, be right, be right, be right, be right, be right, be right. Then the dumbest part of that song, they stop, say something about the devil. If the devil mess with you, tell that devil, be right, the devil can't be right. The devil ain't right. You can't tell the devil to be right. The devil ain't right. He ain't ever going to be right. You got to take authority over him because he's wrong. He's going to be wrong. But you can be right. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can be right. You can be right. Look at your neighbor and say, be right. Be right. Be right. God works in you to be right. Come on, say this. Say, I can be right. Because God's working in me to be right. Says God, man, that's power right there. God works in me both to will and to do. He gives me the desire, and then to do means he gives me the ability to do it. He gives me a desire to be right, and then he gives me the power to be right. So if you say I just can't get it right. I just can't get it right. No. That's because you depend on your own power to get it right. I just can't do it. I can't do right. Can't act right. Can't stop sinning. No. You got to depend on what he's put in you. So God always gives us something to work with in order to maximize our potential. Moses, he calls him. What's the first thing he does? He gives him a rod. The children of Israel, he tells them, you're going to take this land. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be prosperous. But then he gave them something. He told them in Deuteronomy 8:18, I'm going to give you power to get the wealth. Oh, come on now. See, the reason why you can be wealthy, because God put some power in you to be wealthy. Ah, Lord. Say that. Come on. Say it. Say, I have wealth producing power on the inside of me. I give you power to get wealth. No, he didn't say, I'm going to go get the wealth. What does this be? God, go get the wealth. That's why you're trying to hit the lottery. Because God said, go get that wealth. Go get that wealth from Mega Million and bring it to me. We don't see that in the word. I give you power to go get it. Come on now. Everybody say, I got the power. I give you power to get wealth. David, what did he give David? He had this slingshot. Did you hear that? Oh my God. We ain't thought about it. The slingshot changed David's life. Just a slingshot. David never would have been king if it wasn't for that slingshot. He never would have killed a lion without the king shot. Without the king shot. Slingshot. He never would have killed the lion without the slingshot. He never would have killed the bear without the slingshot. And then when he shows up and sees Goliath, he said, I can use my slingshot. And he used the slingshot and killed Goliath. Then they went and told the king, there's this boy who killed the enemy with the slingshot. The king said, bring the boy and the slingshot to me. The people make up songs about this little boy who killed thousands, they said, with tens of thousands that they said. He killed one man. But the song said Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed 10,000. All because of a slingshot. Ask your neighbor, say, what do you have? That slingshot changed his life. I'm so glad that Bishop Jakes has really finally clarified, because he said something years ago that had a lot of y'all messed up. Mr. Jakes was talking about you need streams of income. Streams of income. And I remember he first taught it. Everybody come to me, Pastor, I need streams. I need streams. Trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to sell this, trying to sell that, one hand in here, one, and you're big enough, trying to be a master of trades, a master of everything, what am I trying to say? Jack of all trades, master of none. Because you're trying to create all these streams of wealth. So in recent years, as he's done more close setting things, people ask, well, how do you do all these things? How do you do movies? And how do you do books? And how do you do conferences? And then he's clarified it. He said, if you realize everything I do has to do with communication. Oh. In other words, all those streams of wealth come out of his mouth. He's communicating something. What I'm trying to get you to see is start with one thing. The one thing has branched into different ways of doing it, but it's one thing. Are y'all understanding? You got to know the one thing that God's given you, that as you master that one thing, he'll show you how to become creative with that one thing.
God has equipped us all with potential. It's our responsibility to tap into it. Bishop Herbert Bailey gives you the tools to maximize your God-given potential in this transforming series. Order this powerful message today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Maximizing Your Potential.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.